The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
According to new research from LinkedIn, Ireland has been ranked highest for the availability of remote jobs in Europe. The data shows that in Ireland, 9.4% of all job listings offer remote work options, which is almost double the European average of 5.2%. But is remote working really the most efficient form of work? Well, joining me to talk about this, Peter Cosgrove, Managing Director of FutureWise, and Mary Connaughton, Strategic and Engagement Officer of CIPD, Chartered Institute of Personnel and Development. Good morning and welcome to you both. So we'll just take the bold question first. Peter, good or a bad thing, remote working?
Long term, a very good thing. Short term, we're just going to have some teething problems. We're still... People have been doing this for like 3 or 4 years post-COVID. I know some companies had always done it, but it's going to take a long time for us to get used to this whole idea. Companies that do it very well are often companies that the whole office is remote. So everybody's remote. So everybody's on the same playing field. But people are finding now, we're seeing it recently with AIB, getting people to come back to the office more, that the remote work is sometimes causing a kind of two-tier workforce for those people who aren't in the office. And we even saw with Amazon recently, they asked people to come back 5 days a week, knowing that a lot of people who worked remotely wouldn't be able to. And it was almost, or some people said, it could be a nice, easy way to lose some of your staff without getting some bad PR. So I think the biggest challenge around it is the whole idea that there is a lot about work that isn't based on just productivity stats, okay, connecting with people and linking in with people.
So Mary, what is your institute's view on this?
So, I mean, we do see that having flexibility in how people work is of good value. But at the end of the day, a business has to have different roles which have to do different types of work. So some work has to be done on site, and there's other types of work that can be done remote or offer some flexibility. So in terms of when people have the opportunity, we think a form of hybrid working is actually the best, where people are on site for a couple of days. And as Peter said, you do need to have engagement with colleagues, you do need to have innovation, you do need to have collaboration, and that all needs some face-to-face interaction and some building relationships. So some form of hybrid for those where there is the opportunity to have that level of flexibility.
Now, the question of fairness, Peter, you adverted to it, the idea that there are some jobs that can be done remotely, but your plumber can't work remotely, and there are those who drive buses and so on. And the clerical officers in many companies are working from home on their desktops or laptops. Meanwhile, you know, what the workers who have to turn up feel, they're the ones doing the real work. And there will be a sense of grievance and unfairness.
Yeah, and I don't really believe that should be as big an issue. The reality is, if a company is got good performance management, people who can work anywhere still have to get the work done. And if you don't get the work done, there's going to be consequences. So I think there has to be a move away from the fact that if you're not sitting in the office, you're not working. I do think that. But there is definitely still, because it's so short term, this sense of unfairness, and people are getting it an easier ride because on a Friday, you know, they don't have to commute home and maybe they're going off for the weekend. So there is some of that. And this is part of the teething problem with this, where people are kind of starting to get some opportunities that other people can't get. So there's no question that this is a challenge in organizations at the moment.
And what about that, Mary, that you turn up for work, you've got FaceTime with the bosses, for example, you might get an advantage?
I mean, there are all sorts of risks around equality around this. Yes, I mean, the actual nature of the job will dictate who can and can't have flexibility. And we have seen companies try and expand the roles which could have some level of flexibility. But at the end of the day, the policy needs to be very clear as to the nature of what work can be done in some kind of hybrid way and what needs to be done on site. And then that needs to be managed so it's not discriminatory in any way. We have seen that organisations recognise that having flexible working does support inclusivity, because it means different profiles of people can easier access work and you can have more flexibility around start and finish times. Again, the performance management piece is really key, but it can be used to support inclusivity, but it does have to be managed in a very equitable way.
I'll read you some of the text coming in. This one from Jack. The overwhelming evidence is that working from home has a significant negative impact on productivity, creativity and innovation. The negative effect on corporate culture has been found to be particularly bad. Remember Peter Drucker's oft-quoted mantra, culture will have strategy for breakfast, lunch and dinner. And by the way, the early studies showing little impact on productivity have now been debunked. Peter?
I think every study is dependent on who's doing them. The global expert in this is a guy called Nick Bloom in Stanford, and he would say the view is basically it's fairly similar, not better, not worse. If you hear from people who are from the property industry, they might say it's much worse because that's in their interest. If you hear from employees who want to do 5 days at home, they'll tell you it's better. But the reality is it's way too early to tell. But as I always say, that does not mean an employer should be allowed to tell you when they want you to work and when they don't want you to work. You're just as allowed not to work for that organization. So I think that's the challenge here. It's too early to tell, but there is no question that in the short term, it might affect you if you fully work remotely, if Ireland, say, moved into a recession and there had to be redundancies in the organization.
Yeah, you're at home, you're first to go. You won't be missed, in other words, because you haven't been missed so far. Mary, what about that, productivity? If some people that you're familiar with, the banks, for instance, asking people to turn up more often, clearly they believe they get better productivity if people turn up.
I think certainly there are indicators, and our own research would show that fully remote is not the most productive way of working, and that a hybrid form is better. And I think we have seen more companies review and evaluate their ways of working, and it's those productivity and customer delivery concerns that are driving some of the changes we've seen. So our research has indicated that in Ireland, about 25% of organisations have moved to increase the number of days that people are back in the office. Now, they're not bringing them back full time, 5 days a week, but they have we have seen an increase. That increase generally often from 2 days a week to 3 days a week. So there is a consciousness of productivity very much about this and in this space. Yeah. And it can be made to work. It just needs to have all the.
Well, it may be down to how it's managed, Mary. Mark has been on. He says remote working is good for workers who can self-direct and work towards delivering objectives. Most managers are not able to manage remote working successfully as they haven't learned how to. They continue to use Victorian management methods. I take 4 hours a day to travel to work. Working remotely, I happily do an extra 2 hours work to save 2 hours of travel. That's from Mark. Another one says, the hybrid model is great. Without a doubt, I plough through loads of work on the days when I'm at home. But the switch from one to the other, from home to office, is a refresh and reset, and it means you get the best out of both as a productive worker and as a person. Peter.
Yeah, well, I think the one challenge around that is we're not islands here. If you want to work as a freelancer or a contractor and work for yourself, you surely can and you can do whatever you wanted. But the problem is if you work in an organization and you want to work remote all the time, but actually you have a team who would actually like to learn by osmosis or learn from you or see how you do things and you're never there, that becomes a challenge. So I think it's not just about you. If you're in an organization and people expect you to come in a few days a week, you might be more productive individually on tasks, but you're part of a team and you have to think about the team, not just yourself.
Now, another point that's been raised by one of the listeners, neither of your speakers mentioned how remote working has decimated Dublin City and other places and the knock-on effect, hollowing out, if you like, of the working force, maybe 3 days a week in Dublin City. It can be sometimes like a ghost town on a Monday or maybe a Friday morning.
You go ahead, Mary.
We certainly see that if you're out and about in Dublin. So it has changed the services, the restaurants, the pubs and their practices. But the other side of that is what you're seeing is that people are still maybe going out for coffee, but they're doing it in local towns or in their local village or going to their local coffee shop. So it's not necessarily that the practice has changed, but it does mean it has moved without a doubt. There is certainly more life in some country towns due to hybrid working and less life in some city centres. But still, if you go into Dublin City on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you'll struggle to find lunch because there's very much a social pattern now of going out to lunch, I've seen around. So it's there's no single answer to this. And I think it has forced businesses to review and adopt and try and meet their resources into when the demand is highest.
Now, a final point to you, Peter. Given how useless people are now getting at face-to-face communications and social interaction, I think being at home is only making matters worse. We will soon lose the art of conversation and the ability to small talk altogether, both greatly underestimated skills.
Yeah, look, two things. Noreena Hertz writes a brilliant book, The Lonely Century, about how much time we just spend now with earphones in and not even speaking to local people kind of on our journey, even when we do go into work. And there is a huge challenge. There's a lot about work. As I say, if you can do your job 5 days a week and never need to speak to anyone, your job is probably going to be taken over by technology. But on the flip side of that, I think it's a huge opportunity. We're seeing cities like Tulsa in America that are offering grants for people to come and work remotely. And actually, they've got huge take up. So I think in the long term, this will be very positive. But it'll take a huge amount of time for employers to understand, as some of your speakers or callers in have said, how you actually manage remote workers, how you manage a culture remotely. It is possible. It's going to take a lot longer than people think, but that doesn't mean you take away the personal skills and the key skills that make you human and make sure a computer isn't going to come and take your job.
Peter and Mary, thank you very much for joining us. Lots of comments. I'll bring those to you later.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.